Buenos dias. Good morning. Bienvenidos and welcome. Welcome to those of you here in this space and to those of you who are joining us through technology. Today we walk together into the hope of resurrection that we see all around us in the greening and flowering of the landscape. Join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Cristo ha resucitado. De verdad, Cristo ha resucitado. We watch this morning for the fire that was in the beginning and burns bright in every living creature. Jesus tells us, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power. Recibirás poder. Recibirás poder. Please stand as it suits and turn in your purple Sing the Story book to number 92.
This will be a familiar tune if you think of the Hymn to Joy. And let's stay standing and stay moving with number 90, a couple pages before it. Okay, bueno, we will repeat the refrain on the second verse with the English.
Oh, Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Aspinwall. As some of you know, I moved here 4 years ago to attend Goshen College. In the time since, I've grown in every way under the guidance that the college has to offer. I started and finished as a computer science major, but it's all been much more than that. By picking Goshen, I've ensured that I won't just be one-dimensional. From professors like Jeanette Schoen and David Hausman, I've been given the gift of the purest science. Yet other professors like Joanne Brandt, Duane Stoltzfus, and Brenda Schroff gave me the gift of understanding that there is a lot more than that to life. These professors are a small portion of everyone who has helped me to this realization. A large part is you, College Mennonite Church. You have not only made me feel in the presence of God, but also have made me reevaluate my faith and get a better understanding of who I am as a person and as a Christian. You all have made me conscious of my actions and how I can continue to promote peace in all that I do. The biggest thing that this church has given to me is a vision of peace, a vision of hope, and a vision of the future. There will be struggles ahead, just as there have been struggles before, but the love and welcoming you all have shown me has helped me to realize that there is always a way through. This graduation could not have happened without you, and I would not be standing here before you if it were not for the leaders and mentors that I've met here. I appreciate your words, I appreciate your support, and I appreciate every passing smile. Thank you very much for all that you do, and this is my mom.
Good morning, everyone. I don't know if the MYF crew is here this morning. Simon, Cormac, can you guys stand up? Yeah. I don't know if all of you guys are here this morning, but I want to thank all of you for being a friend to Michael and standing by Michael here as peers of Michael. I really am grateful for that. You can see. I want to say to everyone that you guys have been more than just a support. You've been like a family to Michael and to myself. You guys are the community that God had set and prepared. You probably didn't know it, but when we arrived here, we arrived with such dreams and such hopes. And for a minute there, our lives came crashing down. And it was this community here that held us like centurions, side by side. You held us up spiritually. You were there. It was your words, it was your support, it was your wisdom that came through. I don't know if you were aware of all that. I want to thank my small group that supported me as a parent. How many parents are there here? Oh, and how many of you have gone through adolescence? All right. So you understand, this was a need for me, and you stood with me. I am more than grateful to all of you here, and I'm grateful for just Goshen in general, Maple City, where I work at, and all the people there. I don't know if John Hirschberger is here. Dr. Stephen Harmon, are you here? I can't see you. But if you are all here, these are people that worked with me at Maple City Healthcare Center under Dr. James Gingrich. I am very grateful for everything this community has done, not only for myself, but for my son. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Thank you for giving testimony to the power of Christ-centered community. Before we pray, one specific prayer request for all of you to keep in mind. Tina Hartman's father, after a long battle with cancer, has entered hospice care. His name is Nathan Carter. Please keep the family in your prayers as they say their goodbyes to Nathan. Join me in prayer. God, our Creator, we come before you today as your grateful children. Jesus, We enter your presence in awe of your surprising love. Holy Spirit, we gather in anticipation of your promise to empower us. You create each of us in your image, and we are each unique reflections of your beauty. Today, we especially give you thanks for Michael, for the incredible individual that he is, and for the way that he has flourished in your community. Empower us to surround him and his family as he continues to walk in your way. God, you hold all of our joy, our hope, our pain. Today on Mother's Day, we are grateful for the way that your face is revealed to us in the many women of our church family. You call us into vibrant and transformative community. We remember this morning those from our church family who are at the Creation Care Retreat at Friedenswald. Equip them to bring back what they have experienced to cause change at home, in our congregation, and in the community. We also lift to you Vacation Bible School. Nudge us to assist with it as we're able. Give Whitney and the rest of the planners a sense of calm as they prepare. And grant our children spirits of curiosity for the time of their week as the time of their week of learning approaches. You are intimately acquainted with our whole beings. Today we lift those who struggle physically and emotionally. We pray for strength and courage for those dealing with all kinds of illnesses. For Caleb Gunawan, for Don Spillman, for Lucy Swartzendruber, for Wayne Schwartz, for Nathan Carter. We pray for grace and strength for caregivers. We ask for comfort for those who mourn. We lift to your care those in the midst of transitions, particularly those moving on from careers or graduating from educational programs. You are an expansive God. You envelop the whole world in your care. We lift up our brothers and sisters around the world who deal with unrest due to climate change, politics, and violence. Today, we especially lift to your care the people of Venezuela and the families of Rodolfo and Carlos. Holy Trinity, your dance of love invites us into the mysteries of death and life, pain and hope, despair and joy. Ours is the story of victory over death. We inhabit an earth alive with your goodness. Make us sensitive to the groans of creation, ready to join in your healing work. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. Children, you may come forward as we sing this next song.
And let's sing from the Blue Hymnal, 459. 459. We'll be singing verses 1, 4, and 5. 1, 4, 5.
Children, how are you today? Good. I want to introduce to you Charlotte Croyle. And she is going to share a special story with you this morning. And then after the story, we'll check on how our friends are doing. She's going to share with you the story of Catherine Caterpillar. So listen closely.
This is a poem, and I think it's a really fun poem. Did you know that all poems tell a story? I don't care how long or short, if it's even this short, all poems tell a story. And this poem's story is about transformation. That's a really big word. Who can tell me what transformation means? From something to another. You are right. It's changing something into something else. So that's what the poem's about. And in this poem, I want you to listen to a conversation between a mother caterpillar and her daughter. Can you believe this is Mother's Day and a poem about a mother? But it's Mother Caterpillar and her daughter. And it's called Catherine Caterpillar. Mother Caterpillar turned to her daughter one day and said, "My sweet Catherine, I'm going away, and I cannot come back, I'm sorry to say." She clipped the last threads on her bright new cocoon and then turned to Catherine again. "Well, Kathy, I'm going in now. Are you sure you understand? Can you spin the webbing and knit the silk threads and fleece the insides of your own little pod?" "Yes, Mother, I can," said Catherine Caterpillar. "I've woven the uprights just as you said and tied off 370 threads. I'm sure that before the birth of the moon, I'll be more than prepared for my own cocoon." They kissed goodbye on a dried milk pod twig, and the old woolly worm adjusted her wig and crawled on into her vacant cocoon. Catherine was scared. "Is it true? I'll lose all my legs." "Yes, Catherine, almost. You get to keep 6. "Only 6? Well, what then?" Her mother knitted the last 30 threads and answered her from her own downy bed, "Catherine, you'll never walk ever again." She pulled the last threads and closed her cocoon and was gone. Kathy spent 13 days weaving and webbing, packing in fleece and cutting the threads. When the day at last came to enter her pod, Catherine looked sadly down at her 200 legs and spoke very sharply to God. "God, this is Catherine Caterpillar. I don't mean to gripe, but you haven't been fair, and I haven't got long now to talk. Already I feel a frost in the air. But God, it's like this. I have 200 legs, and while it's an effort to climb up a stalk, I enjoy so much just crawling along and taking a nice autumn walk. Please, God, if you don't mind, could I keep my legs?" But God only smiled and pulled out the moon while Catherine looked down at her 200 legs and stomped her way into her fleecy cocoon. For 170 days, the frost gathered. God smiled down. God smiled as snowflakes piled high on the thread, and Catherine slept warm in her soft, fleecy bed. And 7 cold moons smiled down on the snow, till in May, God came rapping on Catherine's cocoon. "It's terribly dark," said Catherine in fright. "I must clip these threads and let in some light." She chewed through the webbing and cut the silk threads and crawled out and stretched. Then suddenly thought as she looked at her bed, "My legs are gone. Oh, what'll I do? I can't go far." She looked and saw a winged creature who landed in splendor on the old milk pod twig. "Catherine Caterpillar, The morning is bright. Mother, it's you. I've lost all my legs. I think I will die. Nonsense. You're at the beginning of life. You're not gonna die. You're through crawling, dear Catherine. Look up at the sky. When God takes our legs, he expects us to fly. Catherine looked back at the weathered cocoon and tried her new wings. They both rose and flew. I never knew, Mother. The skies were so blue. Stretch out your wings and float on the wind and tell me, do you want to be what you've been and crawl in the dust and have legs once again? Oh, Mother, I'm flying. Today all is sky, and surely God's watching as we flutter by. He watches the winters and guards the cocoons and smiles while the snow falls beneath icy moons. He laughs at our fears while the winter wind sings and wakes us to fly on filigreed wings.
Did you notice that in this poem that Catherine cried out to God? Do you remember what she cried out to God about? She didn't want God to take her legs. Yeah. There are some things that when we're going through a transformation, a change, sometimes we have to say goodbye to some things, and it's hard. And we can cry out to God during those times. These are some of the lessons that we can learn from the journey of the caterpillar into the chrysalis, turning into a butterfly. All these wonderful lessons that we can learn. So let's take a look and see what's happening. I'm going to move this over here. What do you think is in here? Caterpillars? Let's see. Come on close. And do you see anything in there? We have to be really careful and not wiggle this. Yes. How many are there?
Three.
One, two, three. Yes. Well, that one I placed down there because it didn't attach in the container, but in later today I'm going to hang it up on the top as well. But we had to glue it to the paper towel and then let it sit for 24 hours, and then we can attach it up there. So if you, I don't know if you can see this, if you look really, really close, you can see little specks of gold.
I see them.
They are going to turn into butterflies. Isn't that wonderful? We have to wait. We will eventually. So we have to wait 10 days or so, and then things will start changing again. All right. So this is Lydia and Priscilla and Mary. And the boys, I have them somewhere else because there's still, oh, let's not push on there. There's still one of them that needs to make its chrysalis. So it's really fragile right now.
And those are the girls?
Yep, these are the girls. So let's remember this journey of transformation. Can you say transformation?
Transformation.
Yes. So we'll keep learning about that as we watch our friends grow and change. You can get your worship bags and also see Talasha for a special butterfly mask to take back with you. Lord bless you and keep you. See Talasha.
At school,
right over here.
We had butterflies at school.
And while they're doing that,
we learned
we can get our hymn books.
We learned that
325.
Turn, so
325. Singing to our creating God, sustaining, redeeming, indwelling.
David Maldonado, a member of our pastoral team, will be our preacher this morning. Please join me in prayer. God, thank you for your servant David. Thank you for his faithfulness to your call on his life. Speak through him this morning. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day to whoever that may apply to. And may you see your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren. Maybe that's too much, right? Lord bless you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I'm speaking on the theme to will and to do. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I want you to observe that it's talking about God's good pleasure. It's talking, I'm understanding it's saying, David, your will has to be pleasing to me, says the Lord. So this is God at work, and this is God at work deep inside of us. Now, I ask a question. Why does God need to empower my will so that my will does what pleases God? Nowhere in this verse is it saying that my will needs to please me. And I think we can all agree that we live in a world that is a slave to pleasing their own will. And that is possibly the main reason why we have so many problems down here. So then my question is, what is wrong with my will that God has to get up inside of me and start to empower my will so that I can do things that are pleasing to God? Because I assure you, if I do what is pleasing to God, I will never cause harm to no human being or God's creation for that matter. So, based on the information provided in Genesis 3, something sinister occurred in that place, at that time, and with those two folks, Adam and Eve. They received information that they thought was credible. Information was presented to them in such a way to convince them that the information that they are receiving is truthful, it is credible, it comes from a truthful source. And they received that information in that light. They willfully received it. It wasn't forced upon them. It was not imposed upon them. It was just presented as credible. And they took it at face value. And they believed the information. So we have three things here working. One is receiving information, which is listening, hearing. Believing that information, accepting as factual. And then acting upon that information willfully. And unfortunately, they realized that the information was not credible. And they became slaves of keen selfishness. Keen selfishness started to rule over man and woman. Now Genesis 5 verse 1 states, in God's image and likeness God created Adam. In chapter 5 verse 3, it says, and Adam at 130 years old begot a child according to his likeness and image. So here we have original creation in one likeness and image. And then when dad has child, the child looks like dad. It is a human with a will that is enslaved. So that's where I see Paul saying, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do. So you have this willing and doing. And the willing and the doing should be for God's good pleasure. So I no longer live for me. I'm not allowed. That's hard. I am supposed to now live for some invisible being. I've not seen God. I look forward to the day when I will see him. But I've not seen him. But while I'm on earth, I'm supposed to live this gift called life and use the faculties given to me and use the body to serve the will and the pleasure of the Father. Now, that requires power. That requires power. And it's a type of power that you can't buy. It's gifted. Let me see what else I can dig out of this verse. It's not just that I want to do something, to will. Willing is not enough. Being open to an idea, talking about something, considering something is not enough. We have to move. I have to move from willing to actually doing. And I'm not talking about just wanting to do something and then start doing something and then leave it half done. I'm talking about getting it started, sustaining, and bringing it to fruition. It was Hudson Taylor who once said, any work of God has three stages. The first time God speaks to you and he asks you to do something, you will say, it is impossible. The second stage, once you begin to do it, it is difficult. And the third stage is task completed. Impossible, difficult, completion. So it's not enough to just want to do something. We have to move from wanting to do to actually do. All right. Now let me look at an example. Christ operating in such a way that what he does brings pleasure to the Father. So I go to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. You know, I've always wondered, if Jesus is so holy, why are so many people following him? It might be because holiness according to God is totally different than holiness according to man. You get that? A student came to a rabbi and asked, Rabbi, how do I know a holy man? How can I discern a holy man? The rabbi responds, when you meet someone that you consider holy according to your standard, you ask them just one question. You ask that person, do you have bad thoughts? If the man responds, no, run from him. If he says yes, follow him. First step to holiness is to recognize that I'm not holy. Is that right? Verse 2. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So he's coming down from the mountain. Jesus used to pray all night. Often he'd pray alone, and he comes down from that mountain. People start to gather, start to follow him. He's walking. As he's walking, a man doesn't tell us much more other than his condition, his physical condition. He was a leper. He had leprosy. The man kneels in front of Jesus. I don't know if he has his head down or has his head up. But he says to Jesus, and I'm a paraphrase, if you want, you can heal me. Now, this is huge to me. It's huge. The world that man lived in, the world in which this story unfolded, is the same as today. There are many folks who can do something for someone. They have the power and they have the resources, and yet they do nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's why this story is so powerful. You have a man with resources, and you have someone with no resources. And they come, their paths cross. So how does the man with resources behave in this situation? Well, since it's Jesus, we see his behavior. But I want to look a little bit more in here. What did that man feel when he knelt down? Was there silence? Did Jesus respond immediately? Did 30 seconds pass? Did a minute pass? I'm going to go, let's say a minute passed. And when you're waiting on something, a minute seems like a long time. Very long time. In that silence, now notice the man knows, or he confesses that he knows that Jesus has the power to heal him. His petition is not about Jesus' power, it's about Jesus' will. Will you? What hinges on this petition? What hinges? Relationships. Does the man have any relationships? Economy. Does the man have a job? Most likely not. Most likely lived outside the city. He was unclean. He couldn't be in this church service. He couldn't shake your hand. He can't go to the electric brew and sit with you and drink coffee. It's not allowed. He's walking around screaming, unclean! Unclean! He's letting everybody know his business. He lives under this humiliation all day long. He lives lonely. No friends, or maybe he might have some friends. They might be have leprosy as well. Think about what hinges on that petition. His psychological condition. His emotions. I mean, what kind of life is it? But the beauty of Christ, brothers and sisters, he says, I will. And he stretches out his hand and he touches the man. How long had it been since that man was touched? What did that touch feel like? What energy came out of Jesus' hands and penetrated that poor soul? Brothers and sisters, this is the heart of the gospel. Amen and yes. God is a willing God. And God's resources are at the disposition and service of his children. And he expects his children to use their resources to empower others. to empower, to cause change. To cause change. Not a temporary change only. Changes. I like to call them generational changes. So, you must confront yourself. And here's the hard part. You might not like what I'm about to say, but I gotta say it. I'm not allowed to take it home. Are you serving King Selfish? Or are you serving King Jesus? And only you can answer that. I can't answer that. What the Lord may require of you, He may not require of me, for I may not have the resources you have. One thing I have learned, you can never outdo God. Never. So the Holy Spirit comes, and He comes to empower David Maldonado, so that David Maldonado can will according to the Father. And when I will according to the Father, brothers and sisters, changes will occur. Wherever God's children go, changes occur. Things are better every year. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord help you. Give the Holy Spirit liberty deep within, brothers and sisters. Don't be scared of the Holy Spirit. Don't be scared of Him. If you're not scared of yourself, you cannot be scared of the Holy Spirit. Release yourself to Him. May the Lord bless you.
Hymn number 638, 638 from the Blue Hymnal. As you're able, I invite you to stand.
Thank you. I'm Don Ebersole. I represent Student Aid Committee, and I'm here to update you on this college church mission. College Mennonite Church recognizes that one of the responsibilities of this congregation is to assist our church community with the Christian nurture of youth and young adults to provide adequate opportunity for education, both for preparation of a vocation and participation in the life of the church. This, we believe, is especially important for leadership training of our youth and to give young people further opportunity to learn about and appreciate our Anabaptist Mennonite vision for living out our faith. To help us live out these beliefs, our Student Aid Committee here at CMC was established exactly 35 years ago and has worked to provide and broaden opportunities for hundreds of students and families over these years. This year, as you can see on the slide, we are supporting 25 students and their families and helping them pursue parts of their educational journeys at Mennonite colleges, seminaries, and Bethany Christian schools. Our committee, as well as students and families, are very, very grateful for your support, not only financial, but prayer support, and especially taking an interest in the lives of all of our youth and children and the relationships that you form with them. At the end of the school year, as we are approaching, we often get strong financial support, and we really appreciate that. This helps us carry out our commitments to the students. Some of this detailed information is available to you, and I encourage you to look at that in the hallway near your mailboxes. There's a student aid display and will be up there, and you can also see announcements in the bulletin to come. Jonah's now going to share what the student aid mission support means to him.
Good morning. My name is Jonah Hosteller, and I'll spend a moment playing the Mennonite game as a way of introduction. My mom is Lori Hosteller, my grandparents are Jim and Nelda Miller, and my great-grandparents are S. Paul and Vesta Miller. I was baptized in September, so I'm a fourth-generation member of CMC. I am here to say thank you to the church congregation for your support to the CMC Student Aid Fund. I graduated from Bethany and am now finishing up my first year at Goshen College, so I have been receiving support from this fund for a while. As I have gotten older and taken on much of the financial responsibility of college, the assistance of this fund has become more impactful. Because of my experiences at Bethany, I knew I wanted to attend a small Christian college. It came down to Huntington University, which is an hour and a half south, and Goshen College, which is here. I liked both schools, and I thought I would do well at either one. In the end, cost had one of the biggest impacts on my financial decision. Because of the Student Aid Fund, Goshen College ended up being a smarter financial choice. I am very happy with my decision. I enjoy my classes, professors, and friends. I also enjoy being able to participate in CMC worship every week, Wednesday meals, and helping in the toddler room once a month. The church community is very important to me, and I am glad I continue to be involved while in college. I would like to say thank you for your support while helping me with college. The support of this church, both financially and the community it provides, was another reason I chose Goshen. A few weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail stating what I would receive from the Student Aid Fund for the 2019-2020 school year. Without the support of the church, college would be much harder for me to afford, and I would probably not be at Goshen. The letter did say that the fundraising goal for this year has not been met, so the amount I may receive may go down. I would like to ask you to please donate to the CMC Student Aid Fund to help the 25 students, including myself, further themselves into Christ-centered education. My mom currently donates to this fund and plans to do so long after I graduate. I plan to do the same so that I can help others in the same way you helped me. Thank you again for your financial support, as well as the relationships you have built with me. I am so thankful to call CMC my church family. Thank you.
And now it's time to give. Please bring your offerings forward as we joyfully give to the work of God and God's people. And this morning is camp offering. We have buckets here for coins for camp. So if you have some extra change rattling around, bring it up and drop it in.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. From your abundance, we receive and we return some of that back to you. Use it according to the needs of this house. In Christ's name, amen.
And from the purple, sing the story, Go My Friends in Grace, number 57.
Following the benediction, please extend peace and welcome to each other, greeting those around you. And you, all of you are invited to the fellowship hall for a reception for Michael as we celebrate with him the culmination of these last couple of years and of our time together as a community. Hear these words of benediction. May the Creator's light live in you. May Christ's love pour out of you. May the Spirit's power guide you. Go in peace.